Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
If you've been hurt in a road accident that wasn't your fault, you should really talk to G4 Claims first. Unlike road accident solicitors, we don't charge you for our services, which could see you better off. To keep 100% of your compensation, have a chat with Nicole and the team. You'll be glad you did. Search online for G4 Claims.
Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Celtic the Thunder podcast. We're on to episode 90. There's been no number 90s. I actually looked up today, fun fact, we only have three players left across two separate numbers. Now, don't you jump in and spoil it. I can see you thinking, don't bother, McGinley.
Okay.
But we've only got three players left, so I don't know. People are going to have to come up with a fun wee mini game for us to start the episodes when we pass number 100, but we'll deal with that when we come here. I'm joined today by the man at my left hand side, Ryan McGinley. Ryan, how are you?
Things are good, yeah, can't complain. Happy to be back on the podcast. It's good that we've got another one after last week. We're back into the swing of things. The season's just around the corner and I can't wait.
Almost there. It's madness how quickly it has creeped up, because we're now getting proper. Like we said, it was going to be a summer with nothing to talk about. And yet here we are, a summer that has been loads to talk about. And to the left-hand side of Ryan McGinley, it's the birthday boy. Are we going to sing? No, don't bother. No singing. Happy birthday, Kieran.
Cheers.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Tired?
Shattered.
Same.
Another year older, mate.
You're fair.
I've actually aged a year over 9.
Oh, Christ. I know, I've been shattered all week, but it's been a fun week. It's we had Red Hot Chili Peppers, of course, Barbie and Oppenheimer, got them watched. So it's been I've kept myself occupied through the week. I don't know if have any of you seen the films yet?
I've seen both of them.
You've seen both? Well, yeah. I think we'll come on it in the Twitter questions, because there has to be some serious Barbenheimer analysis done.
Yeah.
Show Kieran's just like, oh, get me over
I've only seen one the whole way through, and one of them is very self-inflicted due to the time that I watched it at night.
I know, I've seen your tweet, like, oh, I'm about to see Barbenheimer, and I was like, Is that right? Because it was like 1 in the morning or something.
You said you went to see Oppenheimer at 11:10. I'm sure we'll get on to it.
We've got a lot to talk about. The season is right round the corner. Celtic have been active in the transfer market. And we've got a lot of quizzes. Two quizzes as usual for you today. We're on TikTok now. He's happy seeing your faces on TikTok.
The amount of people have had mail me soon. They see me on the Follow You page.
How about you, Ryan? You feel the stardom of being
Do you know, I'm only on TikTok maybe once or twice a month, I swear.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll watch that guy, that Arsenal American fan that knows everything about football.
Oh, aye.
I spend a disgusting amount of time on TikTok.
It's not
I do my share.
I know.
I say I'm not on TikTok, but I'm on that Instagram Reels, which is just the same.
Oh, do you use that?
Not by choice. It hooks me in, and then I'm in there for hours.
I think I've used Reels.
No, that and Shorts. Even though I've tried to start uploading some of YouTube Shorts, but I'm like,
I feel like YouTube Shorts is for children.
Aye.
Instagram Reels is for the 25-year-olds of the world.
I know, and TikTok is child. For the brainwashed like us.
we're in the brainwashed middle ground.
Aye, that's it. Go and follow us over there. We're trying to take things up. New graphics, new stuff. You see the Tim Tacto and all that jazz. You can go and find us there if you like your short form content. It's at the Celtic the Thunder. Make sure to do that. But let's get into talking about Celtic today. Should we just start off with the news that this week Celtic have completed the signing of Mike Navrocki from Legia Warsaw? That's done. Last week we of course discussed Celtic exploring the possibility of signing Navrocki, but it's finished. The deal has been completed, and Kieran, Celtic have their new multi-fitted centre half.
That man certainly went down well on the TikTok.
Aye. See, a lot of people call it just the standard and the rest of the podcast.
No, that's pretty much it.
Don't watch the full episodes. But we have actually signed him. Kieran, are you happy to have him through the door?
I mean, it's the one area that everybody was sort of decided on, that it was like a unanimous thing that we needed another centre half option in, because I mean, you've seen the performances of people like Kobayashi near the tail end of last season. Granted, they never got a lot of appearances, but and there's a reason for that. and you're looking at people like Stephen Welsh, it could be at the door. Know that I think he should be an option in the first place for Celtic, to be honest. But I mean, it's good to get people in, and there's also talk of getting that Dutch boy, but he's about to Sampdoria.
It looks as though that's happening, isn't it?
They got a bid rejected last week. Fabrizio Romano was kind of tweeting about it, but I think it'll happen eventually.
Aye. So, but it's an area, as you said, Kier, that Celtic had to strengthen on. We do have, we're lucky that we have two players, the quality of Cameron Carter-Vickers and Carroll Starfield, but there has been, and I know we'll come on to you, Ranks, a senior article earlier on, but there has been a lot of naysayers surrounding Starfield. There still is the people that can't shake that. So, Kier, do you think this is something that will maybe quieten that portion of the support a little bit?
But no one Starfield.
Well, just Starfield maybe not being good enough, that we now have somebody that might come in and take his place.
I mean, I think it's healthy to have the competition, to be honest, but I mean, judging off like Twitter and that, you've seen people showing the ideal starting 11 and Starfield's not in it for next season, and they've not seen this boy kick a ball. So it's like, Mark was saying it in the chat the other day, there's still the pure agenda against Starfield, I think, but I don't know, I think you need to wait and see some performances at this new boy before you can start putting him in ahead of Starfield. Mm-hmm. It's good to have the option there, and you hope me as first team quality.
Because I don't see a world in where Starfield just deserves to be dropped, Ryan. I don't think that's merited, and I know we've spent, we're talking a deal that's around, £4.5-5 million for Livrocki, which is a lot of money, and it's the kind of money that you would typically spend on someone to start at Celtic. Yep. But like, it's harsh just to suddenly be like, oh, Starfield's away.
Yeah, because Celtic spent round about the same money on Starfield to begin with 2 seasons ago, so they might even see the two of them as being of similar quality. I know you need continuity in that position, but you also need competition as well. And having three centre-backs at the moment who could all come in and do a job is great for Celtic. It also means that potentially they could play a back three if wanted. I know Navarakis played in a back three against Brendan Rodgers when he was playing against Leicester for Legia Warsaw, so he's got that experience. I know he can also play as a right back as well, but I don't want to be fitting players into different positions that's not their main position. Let's just play players where they're supposed to play. Thank you very much. You know, Celtic shouldn't need to, they shouldn't need to adjust their team accordingly and put players where they're not supposed to be. They should have players that are available in every position. But yet, Navrocki, I'm really, really excited to see this guy. I've only watched YouTube clips, so that's all I'm going off of. But 22-year-old, physical, imposing, he's a goal threat, he can pass the ball. He's good with those sort of chipped passes as well, sort of getting forward. I know Carter-Vickers can be good at that as well. Van Dijk was good previously, but I think it's harsh to say that Starfield will just go out of the team. I wrote about it earlier on in the week, and I was saying that, you know, he's been a mainstay for 2 years. He's been half of one of the best defensive partnerships I think we've seen at Celtic in the modern era, so I think he deserves a wee bit more respect.
He does. And listen, he's stepped up in big times as well for us. You know, there's been times where, you know, Cameron Carter-Vickers has been injured, for example. And there is this, I always see this constant kind of stream of thought in my YouTube comments that people saying that Cameron Carter-Vickers carries Starfield. And I can understand it to an extent and saying, I think Cameron Carter-Vickers makes him a better player, but I don't think anybody necessarily carries each other. I think that they just have such a good partnership together that it only makes sense that when one of significant quality drops out, we do look a little bit weaker at the back, Kieran, because you take one of them out, you're replacing them with someone like a Kobayashi, a Welsh. I don't know if people just expect them to suddenly become the player that's missing.
I know, I think it's like they complement each other really well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't really just notice that and take it at face value. As you said, it's always like a pure disaster when we have to drop, when we don't drop when somebody gets injured. And I think it's just when you see two players, like, as you're saying, it's such a solid partnership that obviously it's not going to be the same flow to the team. Because, I mean, everything stems out for playing out for the back. So these, like, the two guys at the centre-half position are going to be the ones controlling play for a lot of the time. Because, I mean, the amount of times teams just camp in, like, a lot of your play comes for the centre-half, the amount of passes they get half each game. So I feel like with Starfield, I think it does get a rough time. It doesn't help you sell at certain points.
Yeah.
But I think it's obviously magnified as in the centre-half position, especially at Celtic, because we've seen some proper duds there in the past. And I don't know if people are just kind of desperate to make him to be a dud, like, even though he's proved people wrong plenty of times. But then one mistake, like, everybody jumps on the bandwagon again.
I know, it's like that kind of feeling that people are like, they want him to do badly so they can be like, oh, I was right all along. He's no good enough. He's no good enough. But I don't know. Just get behind him.
This has all started from him coming out and playing a game a day after isolation. And between that and the EZ Altmar goal, or the own goal that he scored, it looked so clumsy. And then automatically people have made, they've made a judgment of a player that they can't shake whatsoever, even though I don't think anybody should be talking in that way after that two, that performance of both Carter Vickers and Starfelt in that 2-1 game at Ibrox. I thought any doubt that anybody had about those two being an incredible pair was killed off.
Yep.
Especially Starfelt. I really thought that was the beginning of his Celtic career properly. And I think he's pushed on since then. Yes, he does make mistakes, nobody's denying that, but you've got to remember he's playing out of position as well. If he was on the other side, I don't think he'd be making nearly as many mistakes. And I just feel as if you give him too much time to think about what he's doing, he will make a mistake. But if you allow him to do things just naturally, he'll do it. I just think he's not that he's the scapegoat, but I think he's the person that people will blame if something bad happens.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Navroki's here to make him better. That's the main thing. They need to push each other. And it gives Brendan Rodgers options. Now I feel a lot better having someone like him there who's, as we say, we've not seen him kick a ball. We can't exactly say he's this, that, or next thing yet. But it's just that kind of security knowing that, like, okay, if Vickers isn't back for the start of the season, at least we do have our two centre halves. And there should be one that's trusted when you spend that sort of money on them at the end of the day.
That's the thing. You brought in a new defender, but now Carter Vickers is back in full training. Yeah. So, you know, happy days in that position. I'd prefer to have maybe one more that's sort of pushing as well, but that's just sort of like a dream scenario. I think three is quite good for the time being.
Yeah. Any further comments on Navroki before we move on to the rest of the transfer window this far, Kieran? Any thoughts?
No, I think it's been pretty much covered.
Aye, Navroki, welcome. I hope he's as successful. I was about to say as successful as the last Polish Celtic player, but that was a Patrick Kamara, and I hope he follows those footsteps. There's been a few, granted. I was going right back to Arthur. I was hoping.
I thought you were going to say Brozek. I completely forgot about Kamara.
I think we've got to forget the few that have actually came in between Arthur Boric and now Navroki. Yeah. It's nobody really meant to plan, but this time, I've got a good feeling.
The Legia Warsaw Celtic connection. I know the two teams don't really get on off the park, but in terms of a business standpoint, you know, they've sold us quite a few good players.
Yep,
so
they have.
Hopefully
keep it up. On that note, Celtic did complete the triple signing of Mike Navroki, as well as Kwon and Yang. I was about to say Guan, but I don't know where I'm getting that from. Yang and Kwon, they have both signed as well. We spoke about them in some depth last week, so be sure to go check out last week's podcast. On top of the transfer talk, the rumours are still kind of peddling along that Celtic might be in for Dominic Livakovic, and I don't know. What I wanted to talk about from that is, does it strengthen the conversation that Celtic are in the market for a keeper? Because if they are lingering around Livakovic, then maybe there is something to be said. Now, just to clear my thoughts straight away, I don't see Livakovic signing for Celtic. I would love him to do, but my dreams are that he would. But Kieran, with all of that, what's your thinking? Do you think that Rodgers is in the market for a keeper then?
See, I don't know if I think he probably is in a market for a keeper, but I don't know if it's just because someday his qualities became available that's why the interest has been piqued. Is the interest going to be the same for going out and signing a young goalkeeper for £2-3 million? I don't know. Maybe they kind of like the idea of getting this statement signing, but obviously it's not going to happen because he's in very advanced thingies with Fenerbahce.
No, I think the last update was something like very advanced.
I think there was talk that he's there for the qualifiers. Like, remember when Van Dijk was at Celtic? Yeah. He was there for the qualifiers, and then once they're out or if they're through, then they'll sell him on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a dream scenario bringing Livakovic to the club. I think 28 years old, he'll probably be looking to make a bit of money, whether that be in Saudi Arabia or in Turkey, I would say. So, yeah, I would absolutely love him at Celtic. You know, he fits the bill for a goalkeeper for the next 5-6 years if you could hold on to him for as long as that. But yeah, it's a bit unrealistic. I would love to be proven wrong, but I just feel like this is agent talk in order to put the fee up.
Aye, I mean, because it's a fee that is It's one that Celtic could realistically hijack. You know, you look at it, I think it's something like between 8 and 10 million euros, which if Celtic wanted to go above and beyond to secure a player of his quality would be perfectly feasible. But I don't know, I just feel like it's not, I don't know, there's just something about it you're like, yeah, don't really follow when it's coming for you, I don't know. It's just kind of thrown out there, just out of nothing. But I mean, I hope it signs forward as to what Celtic are maybe looking for. Like, we do need a goalkeeper in the next year or two. Like, Joe Hart is getting to the, I mean, you think that Jack Butland is a better keeper than Joe Hart, so by all accounts we do need a better keeper. I don't see it being him.
Yeah, I think Celtic need a new goalkeeper just now, personally. I made the point last week that St Mirren game, when he conceded those two goals off of Curtis Main, that was when the alarm bells were going for me. Big red flags were coming up with regard to Joe Hart's goalkeeping ability. That's not a slight on him, he's been a great signing over the past 2 years, but Celtic have got to be planning for the future. They're planning for the future in every other position. Mm-hmm. Why not in goalkeeper?
What do you think is realistic for Celtic, Kieran? I mean, I know that you can't shout out names because that's just impossible, but what do you think is the next step? Do you think they try and get someone who is in a similar mould to Hart, a similar mould to Livakovic, younger? Like, what do you think is the next
when
step?
When you look at it like that, that's three different people, like three different players at three stages of their career. Like, Joe Hart coming to the end, seeing it out. Livakovic about to enter prime years, and then you've got, like, a project signing of a young goalkeeper. If we're being realistic, I think that's the most likely, a project sort of signing. Mm-hmm. If we're going to sign a goalkeeper, a young goalkeeper for abroad, I don't really see us gone for another. Like, I couldn't really name anybody the new in the same sort of vein as Joe Hart. Like,
I know
who I would say, all right, he's somebody that's past his best.
Go for Foster again.
Like, I think that's the one some people might shout for. But nah, I don't think. I think the project one that we know nothing about is the most likely. Mm-hmm. I think for the goalkeeper position.
It's nuts when you think back. I was just thinking about there. The last 10 years, our goalkeepers have all been old. Like, in the last decade, Craig Gordon came in at, you know, getting into the older years. Well, you're saying what age was he when he signed?
It was merely injury that made it seem.
Aye, so right. He came in, you know, we knew who he was getting on a wee bit, and then Forster comes back on loan, once again, getting on a wee bit, he was a wee bit older, and then Joe Hart comes in when he's getting on a wee bit. I feel like we've not had a young keeper in a long time.
I love the airbrushing from history that Barkas has got now.
Hey. Are you... Hey, who are we talking? Hey.
Shocking.
Who's that?
Do you know what, I just hope that I hope that Celtic can't put off by buying young goalkeepers because of what happened with Barkas. Not every goalkeeper is going to be like that.
Do you know what that worries me is? Like, I don't know what it's going to take for the next goalkeeper to come in and get off to, because if they come in and they don't get off to like a flying start and make world class save after world class save, are we going to get the Barkas treatment really early?
You look at even when
granted he made some howlers, right?
Yeah, but absolutely. But you look at David De Gea when he joined Man United. That first season was full of gaffes, honestly. It was just full of clanger after clanger. But
gaffes?
Yeah, I know.
I was gaffes? Okay. Was he just having a gaff?
I'm just thinking
of
David De Gea.
Maybe
David De Gea will be having gaffes now
because
he's
having
his free agent.
I was like, in my head, that's a good laugh, actually. Like, somebody was in my live stream last week, we were talking about keepers, and like, De Gea's a free agent. I'm like, yes.
He's going to play for pennies.
Good, I'm like, yeah, it's a free agent, yes. Like, why do we not go for him? He was on 600 grand a week at Man United, man. Like, somebody the other day was there. I seen it the day as well. I don't know. I don't want to sound cheeky, right? I'm not meant to come across as entitled or anything, right? But there's some people who literally just can't grasp, like, the concept of realistic transfers wages. And wait. Somebody's like, free agent signings today, Wilfred Zaha. Wilfred bloody Zaha, well, you think he's, and then somebody else who threw in along with him, Jordan Henderson or something? No, because he wasn't a free agent. There was another one. I'm like, wait, there is a thing called wages. That was my exact reply. I'm like, some people just completely erase that. But I know what you mean. You're back to your original point on De Gea.
Wouldn't take Zaha anyway. No, I'm kidding on. De Gea, what was I saying? Yeah, he made mistakes in his first season at Man United, but they stuck by him, and Celtic fans would need to do the same if a new young goalkeeper was to come through the door, which is, it's a difficult sort of gig to get into. Mm-hmm. in terms of coming and replacing Joe Hart, who has been established the past 2 years. But I think that this is where Celtic need to be getting that a young goalkeeper to come in, command a place for 3-4 years, and then Celtic can sell him on for profit like in every other position.
Yep. I'm sure there'll be plenty of players out there, Kieran, but it's obviously just down to the recruitment now to try and identify them. find the right one.
I mean, I've seen people try to link us with a Japanese goalkeeper.
Was it the one that played against us by any chance?
I don't know.
Suzuki that was getting linked to Man United, I'm sure.
Aye. I seen, I don't know if that's an unrealistic one, because apparently he rejected Man United, and I've seen somebody on Twitter say, oh, let's go find him, man.
He's rejected Man United, but he'll come to Glasgow. Maybe. It's something that we need to just keep an eye out for, because it's just a position that, I don't know, it always feels weird signing the keeper. It's just, don't know. There's never anybody you can be like, aye, realistic, go for him.
Here's just a question, just a general question for the two of you. At what point do you feel as if you can go out and say that Brendan Rodgers has been sufficiently backed in this window? How many more signings do you think before that would be the case? Like, would you, how many more signings before you'd be content with who Celtic have signed all in?
See, I don't know about for a personal point of view, because I need something to think about that, but like, I think the general consensus amongst a lot of the supporters is he still needs to get about 2 or 3 mil, and I think a lot of people want to see big money spent, but I mean, he's came out and said before, like, no long ago, that spending big money doesn't guarantee you're going to buy a ready-made player. Yep. Like, so I don't know if people are expecting in the quantity or quality, because I don't know if people are thinking just sign a few mil. Would they rather we just go and sign one more statement player? Like, who's the man that, like,
I think that if we were, it's obviously not going to happen now and stuff like that, but I'm just using the name as an example because he's getting touted with a £45 million move to West Ham, right? But Celtic, say Celtic went out and did sign a McTominay-esque player, that would shut everybody up. I think everybody would be content. But then if we didn't sign him or someone of that kind of, like, known quantity, I think people still want, like, another 3, as you said. So I just don't think there's anyone in it, to be honest, because, like, it could be one that makes everybody happy, but it could be 3, because it's no somebody that we...
I don't think there's any outcome in what everybody's going to be happy, to be honest.
Like, so, we're the most fickle fan base in the planet. Nah. Can I be real, Ryan? My opinion is, right now, I'm happy. I'm happy. I think he's been maybe not backed as the original thought in my head would have been. I thought that we'd maybe have spent more money, we'd have maybe went for a kind of marquee signing, etc. at this point. But he's got a big squad to work with. We've lost 2 first team players in Jota and Moy, and we've signed, what, 5 now, 6? So, you know, you're surpassing the outs with the ins. I think that I would be really, I'm happy, I'm content right now, but to make me really happy, I think, well, maybe 2 players away from me being, like, happy with that window, so, shut the door.
So would you be content if they shut the window, so right now, if they shut the window tomorrow, would you be content having not replaced Jota with somebody of the same ilk?
I would say my thought would be, I had a phrase in my head there, and it actually just slipped right as you said that. I think that I would be confident in what the team does and where we go, but maybe I would be slightly underwhelmed that we didn't quite replace Jota with somebody that big.
I just don't know where are the numbers coming from then. Did Jota get double digits in goals and assists last 2 seasons?
He's maybe playing the right, isn't he? So Abada fills in for where he was playing, and then we've got, you know, Maida on the left.
Maida won't be playing through the left, though, because he'll be playing through the middle.
But will he?
That's what Rodgers is saying. You know,
but will he? Is it all mind games, right?
But I've got to be honest, I wanted better than Maida at the left, on the left wing.
Well, you know, I'm not complaining.
That's a downgrade. I know we sold Jota for £25 million, but I would expect somebody to be coming in that could put up those numbers, because they've got the money there to do so. Like, say, for example, if Tete comes through the door, I'd be delighted. If that was the case, that would be a perfect signing, and that would make sense.
And they're still over a month.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not panicking whatsoever. I feel a lot better after the Rocky, but I still think they've got 2 or 3 more big signings to make.
Well, it was actually going to be the next, before we moved on to, like, the half-time portion of the show, I was actually going to end the conversation of, with the season round the corner, what do we need next? Like, what left do you want from the transfer window? Off the top of your head, Kieran, what would you like?
I mean, obviously, incomings, Ryan makes a good point about getting. I think if somebody like Tete was to sign, I think that would be maybe the statement signing people have been looking for a wee bit. But I think as well, a conversation needs to be had about trimming that squad, because it is fucking massive.
No, as many players have shifted as I thought.
No, but I thought there'd be more.
I seen somebody post the other day about how many foreign, like, non-homegrown slots we've got for the Champions League. And as it stands, like, 3 people having to get left out, like, the current crop, and it's like, that's excluding your Ayeti's sorrows. Yeah. Like, so as it stands, it's quite a bloated squad.
Yep.
And we're talking about needing a few more signings in. We need to get a few people off the books. When you people, you might get somebody like James McCarthy off the books, but he counts as homegrown.
Yeah,
I think they're going to get rid of him.
Aye, they need to keep homegrown players. They need to make sure they make
because we really don't have a great deal with them.
Aye, right? Aye, exactly. And we're not bringing many through either.
Unless you start registering people like Vatten and Summers and that for the Champions League, but
and then that wastes spots. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know. I think a big few weeks ahead. I think and try to get people at the door like your Ayetis, your Sorrows, mm-hmm. just people that only needing to be in that squad.
There's certainly people as well who I think that are sitting around that could do with maybe I don't know like. Either loaning them out or just cutting all ties, you know, like, as you said, trimming the wood. But, like, guys like Scales, is there a plan for Scales at Celtic? Like, is there a reason why he's sitting around the squad?
I think he'll be back at Aberdeen before the
like,
the
surely
I'm
got
just saying, if we were playing qualifiers, you know, he would be the owner Connolly, the Rodgers second time round.
Yeah.
To play in the that qualifiers.
Bang on assessment, by the way. Bang on assessment.
Either that or Kwon would play centre half. Remember Beaton?
Jesus. Did that. Don't, man. I'm trying to get used to life without saying, oh, Beaton's going to play centre half this week. Away. Right. What about you? So, for me, on because you've kind of touched on it, Ryan. I'll say for the rest of this window, I think I'd like Celtic to get a fullback, a goalkeeper, and a winger, and I would be delighted.
I'm glad you said fullback because I think there's somebody that could solve two problems in one.
Aye.
I think if he's available, maybe Celtic could go back in for Josh Doig.
Think so?
Because he's homegrown, and he's a good player, and he's done it at a really good level in Verona. I think that would be a smart signing.
Aye.
Left back, if I'm sure he plays.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he could play at right back as well, you know, be one of those players that could cover both. I'm just thinking for homegrown Scottish players, he would be a great fit because that is a problem area, and I think that would be alleviated a wee bit if you brought in somebody like that. He's went away from Scotland. I think he knows his trade better.
Played at a higher level.
Why not sign him while you can still afford them?
Yeah. I'm waiting for, like, I doubt there'll be any Hibs fans watching at this point, like, but sometimes you get...
They'll be watching football at the moment.
Well, I know, but that was exactly what I was going to say, because I wouldn't be half surprised if we got Hibs fans saying, how are you boys playing at a higher level? He's playing in the arse end of the Serie A and all that. I'm like, you just pipe down, you've got beat half plumbers tonight, let's just, you know, let's calm it. Who was it they were playing again? What was the name of the team?
Something Escaladas from Andorra, I think it's that.
We can't say too much. We get beat off at Redimps.
Aye, true.
I was watching the game. I seen the pitch immediately. I was like, this has got Lincoln Redimps.
I thought the exact same. Was it because of the track or was it because of the rocks just ahead as well?
Done it for me, man.
I didn't
just
watch it.
I was getting bullied at that sport.
Was it on the telly? Aye.
BBC iPlayer.
Ah, right.
It's a 4 o'clock kicker.
I would have gave it a watch, but I'm glad I didn't, to be honest. Finished Peep Show for the 45,000 time. Yeah, we'll be here still anyway, talking about transfers all up to the end of the window, pardon me. So stay with us and you'll get all the opinion of the panel, and Callum, who's not here today, will be here as well to chip in at points. But he's ready for a half-time quiz.
Because
we've got another one, a new one again today. We're taking up another level this season.
Has this got a name yet?
Kieran did give me a stand-in shitey name, but when I say shitey, I mean shitey. It was poor. Anyway, so basically, I'll explain the concept of the game. So, basically, there is two goals. Player 1 and player 2, you will get the chance to choose what goal you want. I will then play the snippet of commentary from said goal.
Brilliant.
But the name of the player who scored the goal will be constantly blanked out from the clip.
Okay.
You've got to tell me who was the player and what game was the goal from. It'll be some iconic pieces of commentary sometimes, maybe some less iconic bits
Celtic.
Of commentary. Always Celtic. You've got to use... Your heat.
Noggin.
Your noggin.
That's the one you were looking for.
That was what I was looking for. Thank you. So it's a very basic concept. Whose goal was it? You tell me. So, Ryan, because last week you were a bit deprived of...
I'm gonna name this quiz. Whose goal is it anyway?
I like that. Do you know what? I can take that. There we go.
Since I got absolutely butchered with the poll last week.
It was actually quite close. I don't know how it ended. It was, but when I like was editing,
loss, regardless.
So whose goal was it anyway? Ryan, since you've named it and since last week you didn't get to take part in the last portion of the show, would you like goal one or goal two?
Goal two, please.
Oh, you're going goal two, which means Kieran Auld, you're going to be up first. Is your headphones working fine? Yes.
Yes, they are.
Are you ready to hear your goal?
Yep.
Okay, so goal one. Let's see if we hear this. Okay, Kieran Auld, here you go.
just knew would have that in him. He's a big game player, isn't he?
So that's your first listen. I will give you an opportunity to listen again if you'd like.
I think I know it.
Oh, you think you've got it?
I don't know it. I'm very sceptical.
Oh, well.
But it's the bit at the end that made me think it was...
Right.
Do I need to say...
You're meant to only get 10 seconds to
guess. I can't even think.
Meant to only get 10 seconds, but for the first time, I'm going to allow us a wee bit of breathing room. But would you like to fathom your guess?
Do it another one.
Another listen.
I just had another wee think.
Okay, here we go.
Forrest. It's over. He's still going. Stunning! Spectacular! Sensational! Celtic respond quickly, and you just knew they might have that in them, and you just knew would have that in him. He's a big game player, isn't he?
So you're thinking? There you go.
I've went thinking about three different.
So that is your whack. That's all you're getting. Obviously the gaps are when his name is mentioned. So, would you like to guess?
I mean, I think they played Rangers.
Okay, right.
And I don't know, was it the 2-1 game in March 2019 when Kent scored against us and then we went and scored again at the end?
Who scored the goal?
Edwards.
Right.
Or the first goal.
Are you going with that?
I'm going to need to, because I don't have a clue. Right, I don't think it's that.
So you're going with Edward?
Edward.
Against Rangers at Ibrox.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's play it with the player who scored the goal.
Can I get my
see
guess?
If you got it. Do you want to give a guess?
I thought it was Dembele.
You think it's Dembele?
I don't know why.
What game?
You know the one where it's like from the outside, just outside the box.
It's one each in the Pugmanay game in 2016.
When Scott Brown plays the ball over the top to Dembele and equalises.
The one that Sinclair scores as well.
Yeah. Nah, the one in the Invincible season when Dembele brings it there and fires into the roof. Right.
Well, here it is. Here is the goal and all its glory.
Forrest. Rogic takes over. And he's still going. Rogic!
I thought you were going to get that one. I really thought that you were going to get that one.
No chance for a second goal, man.
Tom Rogic against Rangers at Ibrox when he made it 1-1.
Broke David Benson's
injury. Exactly.
That was the last game he played for.
Exactly.
That injury kept him crooked.
So the first ever one. That was a good guess, though. Good guess. I like that it's tricky, though.
This is my favourite quiz. I love this.
Do you like this? Yeah, right, yeah. Ryan McGinley. The this chance to take the half-time quiz this week.
Okay.
Here comes...
Okay.
Armstrong. Rogic. Here's Forrest. What about the short? Through. Equalises for Celtic with 17 minutes left. They get what they deserve. It's 1-1. Absolutely... deserve Celtic. It's a really calm and composed finish by
there you go.
Could you play it again, please? It's a European game.
He's won it played one more time, ladies and
BT
gents.
BT Sport commentary.
Yes, is that our man Rob on McLean, commentary? Yep. It is, aye. Here you go.
Stroll.
A second listen.
Rogic. Here's Forrest. What about the short? Through. Equalises for Celtic with 17 minutes left. They get what they deserve. It's 1-1. Absolutely.
You got it. What is it?
Cal McGregor v Bayern Munich.
Cal McGregor v Bayern Munich is Ryan McGinley's guess. Would you agree? Would you have agreed with him?
I think so. I wasn't actually thinking that, but now that he's said
what were
that,
you thinking?
I honestly don't know. I was actually running through every fucking European game in my head.
Right, well, here's your answer. If it were.
He's been immense. Armstrong. Rogic. Here's Forrest. What about the short? Creature through McGregor! Callum McGregor equalises for Celtic.
You're absolutely right, Ryan McGinley. Callum McGregor against Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
We played so well that night.
Oh, we deserved so much more.
Really
was it Javi Martinez? What a player to concede to as well. But there you go, Ryan McGinley, well done.
Who was the Bayern Munich manager at that point?
Was it you, Pincus? Was it Nico Kovac?
Was it Ancelotti? No,
oh,
no.
It might have been. I think it was Jupinkis. I don't know. I think it was Ancelotti. Oh, because that's for somebody to research. We'll move on to the next show. But let us know what you thought of that. Did you enjoy that voice?
I loved that. I absolutely loved it.
Aye, well done. Thank you as always to Kieran for one of the fantastic quizzes, and as we're now naming it, whose goal was it anyway? I like that one. Does it tell you who the manager was?
I'll need to look up their manager from 2017.
Well, you can do that while I take us on to the next part of the show. The season is right round the corner, ladies and gents, but we've got one more friendly to go. We've then got a testimonial on Pincus. Tuesday. Was it you, Pincus?
Yep.
Thank you. We've got a testimonial to follow after that, but Saturday, Kieran, you're looking forward to seeing Celtic take over Dublin.
I mean, it would have been good to go, but the price of flights was fucking ridiculous, and I didn't even imagine the price of a hotel in Dublin for a night, so it was a no-go, but I'm looking forward to watching the game. Is that a 2 o'clock kick-off it will be?
Yeah, I think so.
That was something to do on Saturday during the day. But
I'll be at the sprint race.
I mean, it'll be a decent test, I suppose.
Yeah.
Getting to play Wolves, I mean, we're not the best last year. But
it's a shame it's probably the most boring team in the Premier League.
Did Doherty go back to
Did he go back?
I thought I seen that in my day TikToks.
Permanently or on a loan?
I think it's permanent.
It was my name on
TikToks, like
transfers you didn't know happened this summer. I never knew that myself. He's a good player as well. I like him. I think he was unlucky.
Obviously, it was meant to be happening in South Korea, and Hwang Hee-chan plays for Wolves as well. So, yeah. But it would have been great to have all the South Korean players go to South Korea, you know, for that game, especially the new players that have just came through the door. They wouldn't have even needed to travel. They could have just stayed there.
Random thought, you ever wondered like what it's like to be a see, like if you're a football player and then just suddenly you're moving across the globe, like what's the moving process like how much do you take, how much do you leave behind, how much can you even bring? Like, how hard a process is that, like coming from like Japan to Scotland?
Actually, I listened to a podcast, what's his name, the goalkeeper, Foster.
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Ben Foster.
He was talking about how every player in the FA gets a set fee for like moving costs and stuff like that, so they get I mean, they've got enough bob between them probably.
I know.
Getting that extra money for all their moving and sort of relocating all their stuff.
Right.
It must be some process.
Oh, it must be. Because imagine like walking onto a plane and you're like taking your whole life away. I can't take that through, pal.
No, you just take quiz and then end up shit mail.
It must take some amount of time though. It depends, obviously, you don't know how long you're going to be in a place. Wolves is a good test for us, Ryan. Let's quickly touch on the second friendly. We did manage to pick up a win against Gamba Osaka. Did you see much improvement in that second performance?
Clean sheet, so yeah, there was an obvious improvement between the two games. Gamba Osaka, I don't think, were as good a team as Yokohama. You could tell that even by watching the game. Gamba Osaka, their goalkeeper in the first half looked like an absolute world beater. So many great saves. That save from Maeda's shot that he pushed onto the post was an absolutely outstanding save. Celtic played so well in the first half. The second half was a bit dreadful to watch, but Bernabe does Bernabe things, really. I think I seen the same tweet about 5 or 6 times, including from myself, saying that is the most Bernabe goal you will ever see. If any goal was to sum up Bernabe's style of play, or maybe lack of a style of play, then that was it. Because, you know, it was a terrible touch. I don't even know what he was trying with it. But somehow karma comes back, but in a good way. Good karma comes, and he gets his rewards for running and chasing a lost cause. The Brendan Rodgers comments after the game were quite funny. He was kind of laughing it off. He was like, it's amazing what you can do even with a bad pass like that. You know, he obviously liked that determination from him, but you know, it was good to get a win after the defeat against Yokohama. Good for the fans that were in the stadium, who shelled out all that money, either whatever way they travelled to the game, and it was good. It was good that they got a win under their belts.
Yeah, there's only so much discussing you can do around friendly games. After all, they are friendly, so I wanted to look at the bigger picture in relation to them. We are creeping up now to the start of the season. We're the time this podcast is out, we're 8 days away from the opener. Kieran, are you excited? Do you think we're ready? How does it stand for you now, a week before kickoff?
I mean, I think we're in a good position. I mean, obviously there's a couple of positions where you're looking at like right back, and you know you've not got a right back in a position like that. with centre half, you were kind of a bit worried as well, but with a new signing coming in, you're hoping the next two games gives him a chance to sort of bed in, get a feel for the team, and then hopefully be all guns blazing come next Saturday. But I'm really excited for the football to start back. It's like a fucking long summer.
It's been a very, very long summer. It's been an eventful summer, but yeah, the lack of football has been really difficult. And without a competition or like a tournament in the summer to properly watch, I felt really starved without football. I think in terms of Navraki, there's more of a chance of seeing him on Tuesday because I know he wasn't in training today because he's getting stuff sorted. I think he's relocating his whole family to Scotland, so he's getting a couple of days off to sort of to sort that out between how many people are coming over with him. But I think Tuesday would be the first time we see him. But, you know, it's another good opportunity for someone to state their claim, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive chance, and it's one of those ones that, you know, we spoke about Kobayashi not taking his chance maybe when he was offered. Big chance for Navroki, Kieran, because if Vickers isn't quite there, I know he's training, and we do decide to give him minutes, that would be a massive chance for him to be like, right, I'm here and I'm the guy.
Because, I mean, if you look at the rest of the season, especially the centre-half position, if Starfelt and Carl Vickers are firing, it's going to be hard to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you kind of want your new signings to have a chance to get a game, and they're not sitting on the sidelines for months and just waiting for bit parts, because at the start of the season, I think there's going to be too much rotation once they find a rhythm, a starting 11 that works. I think it's going to vary too much for it. I don't know if you see as mad a rotation as you would sometimes get under Ange in mm-hmm. certain games, but I feel like we've seen it with Kobayashi near the second, like in the second half of last season, and he got six appearances. But that, if he'd played better, he would have got mad at the end. But like, you're putting him on for like wee half hours here and there. You kind of want them to just get the chance to get a few games under the belt and show what they can do. Because I think throwing them in the deep end is really the best way for a centre half to survive up here.
You've got to be in it in the biggest moments, because that's when you show your quality as a centre-half, I suppose. In Scotland, it's not like you're throwing duties all the time at centre-half. Some games you might not be doing anything at all, so being thrown in the deep end, Ryan, might be the best for him.
Yeah, absolutely, I would agree with that. And it's the same for goalkeepers, you can say, in a way. They could be sitting there for ages and not face anything. Yes, they're going to have to play out from the back for certain things, but... Mm. They might only have to deal with one shot. It's the same for defenders. They might only need to deal with one or two defensive actions, but they've got to be switched on for the full 90 minutes. And if they're not, then more often than not, the team will concede a goal because of that. So, yeah, I think it's good for players to get thrown in at the deep end. For Navraki, I want to see him in the team as soon as possible, but I also want to see Carter Vickers back in the team. I don't want him rushed back, but... if he's 100% fit, there is no reason why Carter Vickers should be on the bench. He should be playing games. If Carter Vickers is fit, he plays. That's just that's the bottom line with Carter Vickers, basically.
The bottom line, and Ryan McGinley said so.
Take it.
Aye, you can be the stone cold of this show. You might need to go bald, though. I don't know how you feel about that. Done it once.
Yeah, that's true. Lockdown hit me hard. But I'm bald in the facial hair department, so you know.
Shaving, that'll not be me anytime soon.
Nah, not the baby face.
Oh no. Walter White was close enough for me. Thank you.
Iconic.
Next week, I'm going to be like asking for your predictions. Like, I want to know who you're like. So have a think. Go away. I want to hear your like.
Okay.
Who's going to be your player of the season? Your surprise of the season? Your fucking flop of the season? Whatnot?
Flop of the season.
I might not ask for your flop of the season, but like, I'm going to ask for all your predictiony sort of stuff next week. But is any who's gone to the testimonial? Any who's getting a ticket?
I've got a ticket. I don't know if I'll be there yet, but you know. If I'm there,
you might get death threats. By the way, you might just say yes. I was getting a stinking for not going.
That's a Celtic servant, Celtic legend.
If James Forrest wants to give me £22, I would go out and have a drink, mate.
I'd think about the game.
I understand that there is a charity element with this testimonial, but this should have been on the season ticket.
It should. Thank you. It should be. Whatever happened to the free friendly? Back in my day, we used to get one.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. We used to get a free friendly. Yep. Don't get that now. It should be on the season book. And if it was in the season book, I reckon that he would have a good, you know, 40,000-50,000 gone.
Does that mean if the League Cup, in the League Cup, if Celtic get a home tie, they'll get that for free?
Is well, we good, buggery.
I know.
No chance. No chance. Fucking hell.
Cost of living crisis.
No chance of me getting a game for Celtic next season than getting that for free. And that's saying something.
That is saying
something. But like, I know he's a great player and all that, but I brought up the podcast last week. I'm like, go and show your thanks. My thanks is paying his wages. It's me that pays the guy's wages, basically. I pay my season book. I pay my tickets. It goes into the club. Where do they get the wages for? Us. People like us.
I'm just not in a position to put out £22 on a ticket for a glorified kicker, but...
I know, I'm just... I know it's like there's no celebrities or former players. Like it's basically a friendly, but
I'd love to see like Gerard Butler against Athletic Club. Come on, you do a big job. For
hey, Gerard, in you go,
see, Gerard Butler, right? I don't know. This is way off topic. Well, go for it. I was talking about this in Muckyard Day, right? Have you noticed in these past couple of films, he's just gave up trying to put on an American accent. He just talks in his mad hybrid and he gets the writers of the film to just throw one wee thing in to justify him being Scottish. I mean, obviously in that film playing at the start, he's like, oh, you've got some haggis, neeps and tatties.
You know my favourite, your homemade haggis, neeps and tatties.
And then the one that really pissed me off was in that film Greenland. It's like an end of the world sort of film. And
that sounds like a Jerry Butler.
It goes on for like, not even kidding, on like an hour and 20 minutes. Don't even talk about why he's got that accent. And then, like, there's a scene where it's just him and his ex wife in the motor drive home. He's like, remember when I met you? I was wearing a kilt. How lazy can you get?
I know.
Do you think he's that big a superstar now that he can't just fucking put on an American accent? He's just gave up.
Gerard.
I think he's now chasing the bag. And now I know Bruce Willis did the same and things have came out. Obviously, he's dealing with his illness, but. Uh-huh. I don't think Jerry Butler's getting anything like that. He's just chasing the bag and God bless him.
He's done quite a few. He's been in an advert or two recently, as you know, as well. He's just out there all the time.
Did he have him in a kilt?
Probably, aye. He's seen Drew McIntyre there and he's like, I can do that. I can go on American television and talk like this.
Like, you see if.
I love my sword and my kilt because I'm Scottish and I'm Drew.
That actually does sound like him, man. See if Drew McIntyre was to, like, go out and do something really stupid. And newsworthy, no. Like in the real world,
like murder somebody.
Yeah, like Jerry Butler could play him. That could be the Oscar season for him. You know, I think he's trying to shake off that 300.
I'm the chosen one. Vince McMahon chose me myself when I was eating my haggis at the table.
Yeah, if you watch WWE, you know that is frighteningly.
You just hear somebody that much, and like, I still remember this day off top, but going into questions in a minute or two anyway. But I remember we went to Brayhead for the WrestleMania Revenge Tour in like 2010, and it was Drew and his heel run, but it came back. It was the first time he was performing in Scotland, so the crowd's going nuts. Hey, Drew and all the rest of it. He comes out and he cuts this promo and he's like, you know what, I've always preferred America anyway because the weather's better, the women are better. And you're like, shut up. go to Ibrox, get him where I'm done with. Bye, Gerard Butler, eh? Why get him on the podcast?
Do you think he'd come on?
I think there's a reasonable shout.
Do you know what? If you don't ask the question, you'll never know.
Nah, you'll never know.
Shy wages don't get sweeties.
That's it. Who would be your ideal podcast guest?
Oh, episode 100. Who's coming on?
Apart from Brendan Rodgers.
I don't know. Who would be your dream of Celtic the Thunder guest?
We need a random person.
Stephen Merchant.
I like it.
I go left field.
I'll go for, I don't know. I would like the two of them. I'd like David Mitchell and Robert Webb. I'd like the two of them
and just force them to act out skits and
they just don't know anything about Celtic. We're like, ah, you know. What about you, Ryan?
I don't even know. Joe Rogan.
Can you imagine? But I'm smoking in front of you.
I don't know.
We don't actually own the studio, Joe.
I vape, you might get away with none of that green stuff. No,
I want to change man, so I don't want Joe Rogan on this podcast.
I would not let Joe.
We're too big for Joe Rogan.
Get Logan Paul on.
Logan Paul, I thought you were going to say Andrew Tate. Theo Vaughn.
Oh, what's his name? Bobby Lee.
I can't get that kind of off my thought.
Who's the English guy that says pop the UAV when he's talking about the last?
Dan Bennett.
Do you want to get him on?
Aye, of course.
Jinkies, all that.
I don't know. I can't think of what's like a character.
A gift to the gab?
I don't know.
Maybe. Fair enough.
The Winnie the Pooh of Drunken Game.
I hate when I can't tell if somebody's actually being serious.
Or playing a character.
Because you can't be that much.
God bless Jerry.
Right, before we get on to the Twitter questions, Aye, score predictions for Wolves on Saturday. Go, may as well geez it.
One each.
I think it'll be a right boring game of football, you know. I think it'll be boring.
2-1 Celtic.
2-1. I'm going to go 0-0.
Wow.
I'm just going for it. 0-0.
Now, I need to write about this game. Please, I do not want a 0-0.
I'm sure Lopetegui and Rodgers will give you enough to talk about.
Lopetegui, he is a man in crisis mode at Wolves. He is not happy at Wolves. They have not backed him. And he's such a good manager.
I know. It's criminal that Wolves actually have a manager at his level. And
it's kind of like the reverse of Aston Villa and Emery. I want to see Lopetegui. It must be depressing
being a Wolves fan, eh?
It would have been exciting when they had Ruben Neves, etc. When they had that Portugal contingent. I think that's what made them interesting for a couple of years. Yeah. See that Portuguese contingent. They had Jota as well. Have they still got that Pedro Neto? He's not been the same since he done his ACL. But now, I just don't think there's anything interesting.
Or Patricio as well.
Very true. They've got the less good version in Jose Sa. He's just not as good as Rui Patricio.
Yeah. Well,
and no Adama either. Adama was blue hot and cold, yes, of course, rotten. But very, very. No, I know he is rotten, but sometimes he was good.
Aye, pace, oiled up, man.
His career's over in about a year. See, once it goes, when he wakes up and he can't do that running anymore, he should just retire.
So stick a knife in him.
He's getting nothing.
Right, let's go to our questions because we're 50. We've actually done all right this week in terms of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll probably get this wrapped up pretty quickly.
Try and get as many of these as possible.
Let's fire through them. Go on.
You can pick any UCL away trip where you go and asks Matthew Blaney 67.
Now let's take this into consideration that we would get tickets. Mm-hmm. So where would you want to go, Kim?
I don't know. Anfield. Yeah. I mean, obviously, really? You can't get them this season, but in terms of like overall, yeah. I thought when I went to Anfield, I thought it was quite an impressive stadium. Not just a whole Battle of Britain sort of thing, isn't it? But I'm trying to think. I mean, Bernabeu would have been good to go to last year, but.
I think I've gone to the new camp, Olympic Stadium, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. If we get them, I just see it every year, and I know it gets a bit boring, but San Siro before they finally knock it down in 2042,
it needs to get knocked down. It looks like a prison. I'm going to see Union Berlin.
Oh,
that'd be great.
If you got a ticket, that would be outstanding.
So difficult to get tickets for them too, just due to the way that they run the tickets, but it's cool. Jamesy asks, do any of you think we have a real chance of Livakovic? I can't see it happening. No. He says he can see it happening, but he says I can't. I think it means I can't see it happening.
Nah. Easy.
Cal, always in the comments. No, thoughts of Dembele playing under Gerrard?
Get that bag, mate. Get that bag.
Did he even play under against a Gerrard team? Did he not leave just before?
No, I don't think he would have. No, I might have. No,
did you just do the Brendan Rodgers voice out of the way?
No, I did.
I thought you just did.
No, I don't think he did. No. I don't know. I don't think he did. But I don't think he did. Because was it? No. I think I might have. What was Dembele's second season? Who was in charge of Rangers?
No, because he was there 16-17 and 17-18.
Aye, then Gerrard came in 18-19, so he would never have played against Gerrard then.
I'm not as fussed at
Gerrard. Get the bag, son. I see a lot of people saying, like, oh, they're disappointed he's not hit this ceiling that maybe we had expected him. Listen, he's won the Liga, he had a good couple of years in France before he fell out with the manager and all the rest of it. He's making a lot of money. I say fair play to you, son.
Yeah, absolutely.
It still just feels wrong seeing that.
I know.
Jack Henry, I know.
It's weird.
It's such a weird, like, group of players, especially that Al Hilal. Now, what are they cooking over there? Yeah. Now, we've got Koulibaly, Milinkovic, Savic, Ruben Neves.
Oh, weird concoction.
Is that the one that Mahrez has got as well? Or has he got
in? Yeah, I think so. I think that's one of the PIF.
What are they cooking?
Because there's like four teams that are owned by the Crown State. So it's like they've made their own top four in the league. They've decided weird. They will be the top four teams. Weird. It is a weird one, but I'm a wee bit intrigued by it all.
I'll get a watch.
It's all that. I think Jota was playing today.
Has it been picked up by any station yet to get shown the game?
It's called the Fire Stick.
Crank. I don't know. Something said IPTV.
What the Fire Stick went? No, no.
It was 2015, I was into that Fire Stick stuff, you know.
Right, next question. Take it away.
Thoughts on multi-footed players, asks James French.
this one should go to Ryan.
Yeah. Do you know what? I like the player being multi-feet, yes. Then it's much needed. Much needed.
Paul McFarlane says, with CCV's fitness after his operation still in doubt, well, he's back in full training now, should Brendan Rodgers sign yet another centre-half?
It's not a priority now.
It's not?
No. I feel like if you sign another one, it just creates maybe an issue. Like, if you want to sign tap level players, they're not going to be happy with their rotation option. So that's the real problem you have at a club like Celtic.
And you went in depth earlier about the, you know, we've already got an inflated squad. I mean, bugger that, none of our centre-half in right now.
So John T. O'Neill says, we've lost Jota and we've signed two wingers this window in Tilio and Yang. Do you think these are the replacements, or are we expecting a big signing in this position?
I don't know.
I hope there's one coming.
I hope. But I don't know, Kieran.
I wish I had the answers, John.
I wish I had the cheap book.
I'm kind of struggling. Unless that Tete became an actual option, I really don't see us going out and getting another young winger. Right. Then are they in the market for a Jota replacement?
Because
I'm starting to think they might not be.
Well, truly, why are you searching Joe Pesci?
Because like loads of people were tweeting, "Oh, it's
you
about the Sinead." Sinead
there.
Yeah, I was. AJ asks, "One B team player you hope gets a chance next season under Rodgers?" I wrote about this today.
Vata,
if he doesn't go out on loan.
If he doesn't go out on loan, then I don't know.
Summers, maybe.
Maybe Summers.
But they've got to be
the other ones that are floating about the team, now.
So.
Yeah, and it's.
Somebody got an unusual amount of coverage that I felt. I kept seeing his face on Twitter. Was that Bruno Davidson? I feel like it was in all the videos, and I kept seeing people screenshotting. I'm like, who the fuck's that?
Aye.
And the only B team game I went to last season, he was a player that stood out. He looked really good on the wing against East Kilbride away from home. It was a good performance from him. He does. It's just by his hair, he does remind you of Jota the way, and he's a winger, he's just long hair and he runs at people, so he just reminds you a wee bit of Jota. I know people are saying, why is Jota still in training when he's been sold? I was like, no, that's Bruno Davidson.
No, just getting him ready to go.
maybe we sold him Yoto instead of Jota. With a fully fit squad, asks Daniel, what would everyone's starting front three be?
Abada, Kyogo, Ida.
I don't think there's much debate there now, because you've not seen any of the other wingers, really.
Abada, Kyogo, new signing.
Alright,
I think there needs to be someone on the left-hand side.
Right, okay.
I still think that's a position that needs to be filled.
Very, very vocal on it, right?
Yeah, and I also think that Hak Sabanovic needs to up his game a bit.
Shut up. No, I'm banning everything, right? Just keep peace, it's banned.
No, come on, you've got to be honest.
It's like the North Korean state in here. I'm gonna make you have wee 40s of hacks of bangs, you know. I've actually got my hacks on right now.
I want hacks of bangs to do well.
I will fucking act like it, man.
You need to act like it.
Wait till the new fitness starts.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
We'll see who's saying okay. Come back to this in a year's time.
Where will it be?
Here. Scotland go starting week in, week out.
Okay. Are you confident in that?
Aye, I'm up. Very,
that's
actually.
Fine, mate, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Can tell he's going to see Barbie. Joe McMillan asks, do you think Angus Gunn would be a good fit for Celtic?
Do people just pick him because he plays for the Scotland team? Is that it? Is that a reason? What about you, Kim?
Aye, what do you think?
No.
Nah, not for me.
Reader of Lovakovic asks Lewis, who's everyone taking?
Lovakovic.
Aye.
Yeah.
Nice, simple, like that.
What limb would you sacrifice, asks Drew 1967, in order for Celtic to hijack Lovakovic?
You don't want to know.
My right knee gives me a chip. So I can't hack it off. Didn't do it anyway, so
it's in your body. Anybody who does amputations here, Cairn.
I'm in the market.
That means you won't be multi-footed anymore.
Yeah, that's it. You'll be single-footed.
That's the joke I was making.
I'm sorry.
Who would win in a fight? Who would... You alright there?
I'm alright, fine.
Charlie asks, who would win in a fight, CCV or Johnston? Now, he didn't specify what Johnston, because there's two Johnstons.
If it's Mikey, God rest you.
That'd be like Hornswoggle.
I'm still going Vickers personally.
Yeah,
Vickers.
Me too.
Simple again.
Although Johnson, I think, would be quite sneaky.
Vickers just gives me Brock Lesnar vibes.
I think Johnson would gouge him in the eyes.
He'd be a heel, wouldn't he?
Aye.
He'd talk CCV to death.
Aye.
What was I looking at? Billy, now, honest opinions on Oppenheimer.
Oh, outstanding. It's a masterpiece of a film. It was really, really good. But I will say, it never left me with that same feeling that I thought I was going to get from every other five-star film I see. Like, I didn't leave going, oh, like, that was... It was really, really good. And it was filled with a lot of dread. It's like, that bit in Peep Show is like, the thing is, Jeremy, you've got to create a really amount of dread. The longer the note, the longer the dread. That's how I felt with the film. But it was outstanding. It was.
Did you see that John McKenzie, friend of the podcast, dropped his first 10 out of 10.
Yep. Yeah, and rightly so.
And it was Barbie.
Rightly fucking so.
That movie, now, I might lose my bro card or whatever, but that movie affected me more than Oppenheimer did.
I just thought it was outstanding.
It was, wasn't it?
I thought it was brilliant.
Kieran, are you going to see Barbie?
I will probably see Barbie and Oppenheimer, but probably wait till next week, to be fair.
Honestly, yeah. Barbie was... You know what? I love the woke culture. I love it. I wouldn't say otherwise.
Well, there's Jordan Peterson not going to come on
Ben Shapiro away. I just thought that the comedy was brilliant. The very intelligent breaking of the fourth wall, I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
Ryan
Gosling was just phenomenal.
He was brilliant. Margot Robbie was brilliant. John Cena was outstanding. The wee brief cameo of Rob Brydon was... tremendous.
And Danny DeVito's wife as well.
Yeah, yeah. Rhea, that's Pell, right. Aye.
She was really good. Aye. As a...
What's her name?
The Barbie creator.
Aye, something like that. It was outstanding. I loved it. It's probably my film of the year. You know me, I'm a film
bro now. It's up there for me as well.
I've seen 40 releases in 2023 and it's number one for me.
Over Parasite? Did you see...
Oh, I never came out in 2023.
Oh, right.
But, I mean,
right,
40,
okay.
2023 oh, releases. Right, okay, I've seen about 190 films this year.
190 films? Do you watch like a film a night, basically?
Basically, aye. Fair. I'm on 190 or nearly for the year. And out of the 40 that have been released this year, Barbie's number one.
Yeah.
I think great soundtrack. My top three is Barbie at one, Babylon at two, and Spider-Man at three.
Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Verse. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good movie. But... we got a Barbenheimer fix in this podcast. We said we were going to do it. I need to watch Oppenheimer again, to be honest, because I fell asleep. Showcase. I went to the showcase. You told me to go to the showcase. Yep. You didn't tell me that those seats were going to be as comfy as what they were. Oh my God, recliner seats as well.
Oh, it's like a bed, isn't it? Oh, it's fantastic.
And I was in the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, do you sit to be like two seats at the back corner as well? Because
that's where my mate, ordered the tickets, because we were doing a half and half. He bought the tickets, I bought the food snacks and stuff. Yeah,
right.
If it was me, I'd want to be right in the middle, but, you know, couldn't complain.
Aye.
Fell asleep, I actually fell asleep, and then they dropped the bomb, and, you know.
Fucking loud, isn't it?
Aye, but the delay, I think that was the best part.
I was sitting there with one finger in my ear. I knew the bomb was coming. I'm sitting like that. It's going to be loud, this.
It's no, it's not a spoiler because it's obviously a biopic. People know what happened with regard to that.
Wait, he bombed somewhere, though.
But.
Japan! Oh my.
See the, I see that wait when you were waiting for the.
The delay between...
That was absolutely terrifying.
I was anxious as... I've never been as anxious in my whole life.
You know that? When a cat's like back goes like that? That was like me. I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
I know
here?
We were in the IMAX, so the place was packing.
I can't imagine it.
I could just feel everybody behind me looking at me as I'm like this. Because like they did a wee test bombs before it, and that was loud enough. I jumped out my skin and I was like, I don't want to know what the full whack's going to be like. But anyway,
yeah, we need to move.
Right, let's go into the quiz. Thank you for your questions. Let's wrap it up. Thank you to
everyone that commented.
Yeah, we'll be back next week and all through the season. So if you want to keep getting
just
your questions,
copy and paste them.
Yeah, because there's a couple
still apply.
Yeah, there's a couple there that I see that I want to answer, but I'm up early in the morning. I've got a flight, so. Full-time quiz hosted this week by Kieran Auld.
I have the questions right here. So, how are we deciding player A and player B?
I'll let Ryan go first because he won.
Right, cool. Ryan?
I'll go as player A this time.
Right, cool. Question one for player A, McGinley. Celtic signed Yang and Kwon on the same day from Gangwon and Busan I Park. Which player came from which club?
Yang came from Gangwon and Kwon came from Busan.
Correct. 1-0.
That was piss easy.
I would not have got that.
I write about Celtic. I've been writing about this non-stop.
Us two are pretty, you know.
Right, so Ryan, player B. Question number one. Our 2020 Scottish Cup final penalty hero, Conor Hazard, signed for which English club?
Plymouth Argyle.
Correct.
I think it was Kevin Twister who wrote this quiz.
One each. McGinley, Hearts recently confirmed they had a waiting list of nearly what? Was it 6,000, 7,000 or 8,000?
7,000.
Correct.
Waiting list for what?
Season tickets.
Hearts?
Mm-hmm, supposedly. We've got a 7,000 long waiting
list. Just as an aside, did you see that interview between Stephen Naismith and McAvoy? They don't know who's in charge. It's assistant to the regional manager stuff.
Right, so to Ante McGinley, Ryan, with your chance to equalise, how many managerial changes has there been in the Scottish Premiership during pre-season?
Oh, that's a good question, by the way. Because Robson stayed at Aberdeen, so like Rogers has obviously changed. Dundee have changed. Hibs haven't changed. Hearts haven't changed. Motherwell's not changed. Kelly's not changed. St Johnson, I don't think have changed. I'm going to go two.
Well, it's three.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
Kieran's put Rogers, Farange, Tony Docherty for Gary Boyer, and on a technicality, Frankie McAvoy for the Lopak headed fucker Naismith.
Oh, I'm not having that. Two's the answer.
No, actually, it's not. McAvoy is technically the manager.
McAvoy is the one that gets final say on everything.
And I gave you that too.
Oh. I know, literally talking about it.
Oh, wee pish.
Right, so McGinley currently holds a 2-1 lead, could make it 3-1 here. Which former Rangers and Scotland defender became the manager of Southampton?
Russell Martin.
Correct.
I was going to say Russell Watson.
Did he get Southampton, Joe Bye?
Mm-hmm. So that's 3-1, Ryan, to bring it back to 3-2. The annual Joan Gamper Trophy will be played between Barcelona and which self-proclaimed member of the top six?
The wet trophy,
it's a pre-season trophy.
Listen to the question.
Could you repeat the question again then, please?
The annual Joan Gamper Trophy will be played between Barcelona and which self-proclaimed member of the top six?
Self-proclaimed member of the top six?
That's a big clue.
Spurs?
Yep.
Alright, there we go.
Can put Spurs. Ange could win a pre-season double of trophies after winning some Singapore Tiger Shark Cup.
The most successful spell Tottenham Hotspur have ever seen.
Right, so it's 3-2 to McGinley. Question number 4. As of July 26th, only one transfer in the top 7 involves no English team. Who is the transferred player for over £85 million? So in the top 7 transfers that have been made this summer.
Top 7 and
but this doesn't involve an English team.
Who doesn't involve an English team?
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Doesn't involve an English team. Oh, does it mean English player?
It means this is the only
Jude Bellingham.
Yes. The only transfer at the top 7 that don't involve an English team.
So Ryan's 4 out of 4.
Mm-hmm. To make it 4-3, Ryan. Give yourself a chance. With their move from the new camp to the Olympic Stadium for the upcoming season, how much has Barcelona's capacity dropped to? Is it 49,000, 54,000 or 59,000?
Oh, I'm sure it's one of the 50s. I'm sure it's got a 5 in it. It's probably going to be 49 now, but I'm going to go for 54,000.
49.
Oh, yeah.
So the winner. Kieran put 49,000. Only 40,000 have full visibility of the pitch in that stadium.
Jeez, oh.
Fuck's sake. But, right, so why don't we read what question number 5 would have been?
Please.
Right, so for McGinley, it would have been the UEFA CONMEBOL Club Challenge was contested for the very first time this pre-season between the winners of the Europa League and which South American club equivalent competition? So it's basically asking what is theirs called? Like their equivalent of the Europa League. South America.
Copa Libertadores.
That's the Champions League.
Oh, is it Copa Sudamericana?
Yeah. Sudamericana.
Yeah.
And then, Ryan, your last question would have been...
Next one wins.
With a whopping $15.2 million salary per year, who became the highest paid British manager in football history?
How much per year?
£15.2 million per year.
I'm going to assume... And I might be wrong. I might be way off. But is it Gerrard?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Right. Boss lad.
And then the tiebreaker would have been
stinking on it.
With the Scottish League Cup including 16 games on 4 match days thus far, 64 in total, you should know by now what's coming next. How many goals has there been in the group stages of the Scottish League Cup so far?
37.
In 64 games?
Shite.
God, it's been a real, it's a real dampener, aye. Terrible for the competition.
I don't know, aye, like 64 games, I don't know, 113.
What's your guess, being McGinley?
167.
McGinley was far closer. It was 184.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. Fair play, you lads. Well done, Ryan. A double for you today. Two quiz wins. You said you were going to come back with a vengeance.
I did. Yeah.
You did. Could have laid off a wee bit. Right. Sorry, mate. That's it for today. When this is up, I'll be away to Belgium. So enjoy. Thank you very much. I'll be back on Monday. And I'll make a video on Monday, so I'll see you then. As for us at the podcast, Ryan, thank you very much. See you hopefully next week.
Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, I'll be here.
And Kieran, I'll see whoever's here. I don't know who's going to be at this point, but we'll see what happens next week. But thank you, Kieran. Yeah, and enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Oh, cheers.
Right, see you next time. Cheerio.